It may not be perfect, but technology for tracking and forecasting weather has advanced rapidly over the past few decades. Weather junkies who feast on meteorological sources and programs may be happy to know of a new frontier in weather reporting. Space. The United Kingdom's National Weather Service is partnering with NASA and the NOAA on an expanded forecasting center to provide space weather in near real time. We want to get a better idea of what a space forecast might sound like, so we called Joe Hansen, host and writer of the PBS Digital Studios' It's Okay to Be Smart. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
So on an average day, what does the weather look like in space?
When we talk about weather in space, we're really talking mostly about the sun. We got to keep our eyes on meteorites and comet tails and things like that that we're flying through. But most of what we're looking at involves the sun. So when you look at the sun, we see this sort of rippling surface, these dark and light. Sometimes we see some sunspots, solar flares, or these super huge explosions called coronal mass ejections. And what these do is they eject billions of tons of matter, you know, protons and electrons towards the Earth, and a ton of radiation, everything from radio waves to gamma rays and X-rays and things like that. And so when those get to Earth, they interact with our magnetic field. See, the Earth's sort of like a big magnet. It's got a big core of molten iron, and it emits this field, this protective field, that's actually one of the reasons that we're alive down here and that we have an atmosphere. So when these charged particles, a few days later after being released from the sun, they strike that magnetic field, and they can disrupt our radio communications. They can mess with navigation systems. They can even turn little wires, the power lines above your house. They can force a big current shock to go through there and blow the circuit breakers. Famously, in 1859, there was this event called the Carrington event. An enormous coronal mass ejection was released from the sun. That hit Earth a few days later. The sky was glowing with auroras down to, you know, Italy, maybe as far as Hawaii and places like that. And they were able to power telegrams from Boston, Massachusetts to Portland, Maine, with the equipment unplugged. These are things that can happen at any time when the sun's weather gets a little angry.
Well, and there's much more at stake now than just telegraph wires.
If you like this radio station, if you like your mobile phone, if you like your computer, your wireless internet, if you like electricity in your house, you know, these are things you have to worry about.
What equipment do scientists need to be able to forecast space weather and to keep their eye on these coronas and other phenomena from the sun?
So NASA and their partners have some ground-based telescopes that looking at the sun. They've got some really cool telescopes that stare at the sun full time. And they're watching that area around the sun that we call the corona, which is the most magnetically rich, energy-rich, hugely, hugely hot area of the sun. So when we see a coronal mass ejection come out, they'll kind of plot our course and see if we're going to fly through that. There's also other satellites that are watching the surface of the sun, looking for things like sunspots, which can be kind of a precursor to solar flares and these active solar regions. So if one of those happens to be pointed right at the direction of the Earth, you know, we've got a few days' notice thanks to these eyes in the sky.
Science aside, it's the competition for the TV viewer that has driven a lot of advances in meteorology, at least how it's presented to the public. How do we get people interested in the weather in space?
Well, first of all, pictures of the sun are cool. So everybody likes going on and looking at these awesome animations and these videos that come off these satellites. I mean, some of the greatest pictures that have come from space in the past few years have been these enormous arcs of magnetic plasma that have come off the sun. I could stare at those all day, but, you know, that's me. The weather report sort of sounds like you would expect if you turn to that one channel on your TV where that robotic voice is sort of repeating it over and over. So just trust that there's a lot of trained specialists and interested scientists that are out there watching it for you.
Joe Hansen, host and writer of the PBS Digital Studios, It's Okay to Be Smart. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Now you can learn much more about the future of space forecasting and find links to see Joe's blog and YouTube video series at wordofmouthradio.org. Maybe all it takes to get people more interested in space weather is to leave it to the pros. We wanted to know what it would sound like if NHPR decided to start adding space forecasts to our weather reports. Here's NHPR's Dan Colgan trying his chops as an astrometeorologist.
In outer space weather today, low solar activity, some minor crackling of C-class solar flares from departing sunspot AR-1800, with a 10% chance of more substantial M-class flares. Overnight, a slight chance of visible meteor showers over the southern half of the planet. Potentially hazardous asteroid 2005 WK5 will not be colliding with Earth, but will be passing about 3,100,000 miles away. There's a 20% chance we'll see some minor geomagnetic storms in mid-latitudes. Solar wind is holding at 340 kilometers per second, though increasing wind from a coronal hole could make for more disturbances in the Earth's magnetic field over the next few days.